We're just saying about the love of God, deeper, wider, higher than anything in the world that cannot be described. We just sang about love lifted me from the depths of sin. And Paul's talking about this love in Ephesians chapter 5, the love with which, this agape love with which God loved the world. And so verse 28 to 30 today, we're talking about husbands loving your wives. Verse 28, husbands, you ought to love your wives as your own body. He who loves his wife loves himself, because no one ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church, because we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. As we've been studying the subject of submitting to one another in the fear of God, several verses preceding here, we find in verse 23 that God has given us a structure and a hierarchy of authority in the church. God is the supreme creator of everything, and Jesus Christ, his Son, being fully God, being divine, that we talked a little bit about in Bible Hour today, he is in submission to fulfill the will of God. And we, his church, the bride of Jesus Christ, members of the body of Jesus Christ, all of us are submissive to Jesus Christ through his word that he speaks to us and teaches us through the leaders, the pastors and the teachers, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and on, that are given to the church as gifts to teach and lead the church, to be head over the church. And then in the very same way, Paul goes on and says that we are to submit not only to God the Father through Jesus Christ, through his word, through the church, through the leadership of the church, but in the family and in society, there are structures of authority also. And to give an illustration and a comparison between the church, Paul uses marriage as an example of what the church and the relationship that we as his church have to him. And so in marriage, God has also established and ordained a structure of authority, which verse 23 describes to us. The husband is head of the wife, just as Jesus Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Verse 24 goes on, and it shows that in this relationship between Jesus Christ and his church, and in this relationship of marriage, it is expected. Let's put another word. There is an expectation, Paul says, in a marriage relationship. Just like in the church is expected to be submissive to Jesus Christ and to his word and to the God the Father. In the very same way, in the structure of marriage, wives are expected to be submissive to the headship and to the spiritual leadership of their husbands. This is what God has ordained. Then when we go on to verse 25, we find that Paul not only explains the structure of leadership and headship and spiritual leadership in marriage, but Paul gives us an example, husbands, Christian husbands, of how we are to do this. We find that we do this through leadership. We don't do this through commands. We don't say do this or do that. We lead, we do it, and then the wife has nothing else to do but follow, provided we're following in the steps of Jesus Christ laid out for us in Scripture. So men, we have a standard, and we have a calling, a high calling, a holy, a sinless calling, based on the Word of God from Jesus Christ and God himself of how to do this. And if your wife is not submissive to you, it's your fault, because you're not living as God would have you to lead and be the head of your family. And so the example in verse 25, it's an exhortation. And Paul uses the death, the substitutionary, the voluntary death of Jesus Christ for his bride, for his church, as the example for us, godly Christian husbands. And some of you guys that don't have wives yet, you're supposed to learn these things so that when you become married, you could hit the ground running in a relationship that will be godly and pleasing and glorifying to God. And then we come to verse 26 and 27 that we looked at last Lord's Day. And we find that this love that God loves the church with, This giving love that Jesus gave himself. Husbands, we are to have the same love. How does that translate into our life? We find that this love is a transforming love. It is a purifying love. It is a love that wants the very, very best, not just for you, for your wife, but for the church, as members of the church of Jesus Christ, and as members of the body of Christ, that is the bride of Christ, that is going to be presented to Jesus on the day when he takes us to be with him as a pure and glorious church. No spots, no wrinkles, dressed in the righteousness of God, of Jesus Christ, that is described as our holy living. And so men, Christian husbands, the goal that you should have in loving your wife is that it would lead you as a family to holy living. You say, well, I never thought that loving my wife, that's what Scripture teaches us. The intent of God to have Eve be a helper to Adam was so that together they could glorify God. And later on we'll get to this verse 30 where it says that we are part of the body, part of the bone, part of the flesh. It takes us all the way back to Genesis, where God takes a piece of Adam's bone and makes a wife for him. She wasn't made out of the dirt like we guys were. Okay? She was made from this glorious, breathing, living organism that God made out of Adam. Ladies, you're special. Man, your wives are special. Guys that are looking for a wife, you're supposed to be looking for this quality in your wife, but in you also. And so in verses 28 to 30 in the text we just read today, Paul begins to describe this love that a husband has to have for his wife and how he's to express this love. And there's two words here that I want you to remember, guys, so they'll be right here. Always in the front of your mind when you think. It says that you are to nourish her and you are to cherish her. And you go, oh, those are real feminine, soft words. We're men. We're macho guys. We're, you know, power gay, right? Well, you know, Paul is setting for us an example of Jesus Christ. The glorious Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our Savior, the man of man. You know, Jesus Christ voluntarily, we talked in Bible hour at 10 o'clock. Those of you that weren't here, get the tape and listen to it. But Jesus left his glory. But even when he was on earth as a man, he was a man of men. We don't know what Jesus Christ physically was like. But remember when the group came and they wanted to stone the woman taken in adultery? It says Jesus just looked them in the eye. And that's all it took. You know, when we read Revelation, when we see the image of Jesus Christ that John sees, and the eyes of Jesus are like flaming arrows coming out of his eyes. Kind of like Star Wars a little bit, just zapping people almost, okay? Jesus was a man, okay? But yet he had a tenderness in his heart from children to the dying thief on the cross that he demonstrated. So what does it mean to love your wife like Jesus loved the church? Paul compares it to our body. You know, in America and in the West and in our time, in our 21st century, we spend more on ourselves, on soaps and shampoos and lotions and perfumes and lotions and diets and foods and exercise and gym and sports events and Powergate and Gatorade and everything else. We spend more on ourselves than any time in history. And Paul says that nobody hates his body but takes care of it. And man, you're supposed to love your wife at least as much as you love yourself. What that means is you will never even think of doing anything that would hurt your wife physically, emotionally, or spiritually. And I want you to remember these three things when we think about nourishment and cherishing your wife that God has given you or will give you. I have faith. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, says that, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? God lives in our body. And so not only are we to love our body, but we are to take care of our body because God lives in this body. God the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us not to do anything to your body because Jesus Christ lives in us and the Holy Spirit lives in us. And just as we wouldn't hurt ourselves, we are not to do anything that would hurt our wives. But instead, our love is supposed to express itself tenderly, caring for her, nourishing and cherishing her. It's unnatural to hurt yourself. There's a few people that are sick mentally, and they cut themselves and they hurt themselves. And the heathens in the Old Testament used to do this. Remember the prophets of Baal, when they were praying to Baal, and Elijah says, maybe Baal fell asleep. Pray a little bit louder. They took knives and stones and began to cut themselves so that they were bleeding. This was a pagan ritual. But you're not to do anything that would hurt your body. It's not natural. Your body was created by God to live. And anything that you do to hurt your body hastens the day of death. And none of us can postpone death. It's coming for all of us. But don't push it. And don't do anything that would harm your body. And in the very same way to your wife, because God gave her to you. That Peter, in his epistle, says, as a weaker vessel. Not physically weaker, but as somebody that is more gentle and more caring and more loving and more kind and more feminine and more soft than we macho men are. Now, these two words, and our time is short, I just want us to briefly look at the word nourish. Nourish in the Greek is what we would call baby food or finger food. If you can see the picture of a mother with a little baby sitting in a high chair, feeding the baby spoonfuls of food until the baby is satisfied. That's what the word nourish in Greek means. And it means, husbands, you are to physically and emotionally and spiritually take care of your wives very much like a loving mother would love her little baby. Not giving them anything that would be impossible for them to chew and digest, but giving them little bits of finger food and continuously do this until she is satisfied. Cherish, on the other hand, is more of protection and of caring and establishing a house and a home where she will feel safe and comfortable and protected from outside sources. And if an enemy comes breaking in the door, you will stand at the door and say, you've got to go over my dead body to get to my wife and my children or my family. Nourish and cherish. We do that physically in the way we care for our wives. When we get up in the morning and we go to work, when we feel like sleeping in. Or we do things for our wife to make her happy and comfortable. Wives, there's a certain responsibility on your part not to take advantage of the poor guy that's working for you. Okay? But that's in a physical sense. In an emotional sense, cherishing means to do the little things that are pleasant to your wife that express to her the same thing that Jesus does for the church, daily giving us strength and spiritual food. It says Jesus cares for us on a daily basis, giving us all the things we need to live a spiritual life. That's the emotional part. Guys, you know, open the door for your wife to the car. Don't be halfway down the street and she's still getting in the car. Okay? Do little things for her that would express in tenderness things that we emotionally don't feel that your wife or your girlfriend feels. Ladies need this emotional bonding. This hug, this kiss when you come home. To tell her that she is the apple of your eye. And all day you were working and waiting to come home and give her a hug and a kiss and tell her that you love her. And that you're willing to die for her if somebody would come through the door. But in the meantime, you will help her with the dishes after dinner. These are the little emotional things to nourish and to cherish and to protect and to care. But most importantly, spiritually, you're the head. God has made you head of the wife. To feed her, to nourish her, to give her daily food spiritually, to be the spiritual head of the family, leading her and you for the glory of God to holy living. Is that your goal? So that together, as members of the body of Christ, you would appear before God as part of His bride, as part of His body, as part of His church that Paul talks about. We'll pick this subject up next time as we talked about the reason men have to get married. But for today, may God bless His word, and I think that's enough for us to think about for a few days until we meet again. May God bless His word. Amen.